And I thank God for Brother Byron Fox. I want you to know that I've had a little hard time getting acquainted with Brother Byron Fox because I don't see him much, but the more I'm around him, the more I appreciate his ministry and his intent. Now, he's full of the Lord, full of enthusiasm. He's always wound up. How many of you have ever been around someone like that? How many of you think you have a pastor like that? Yeah, good, yeah. He's wound up. God bless him. And I appreciate his enthusiasm. And he's going to be with us, helping us with the music. And I want him to preach. Now, he could be here leading the choirs and all that kind of thing, but I want him to preach because I want you to know more about the man's heart so you can pray more intelligently for him. You see, it's all one thing to me, all of it, one thing. Everybody working together. These girls who work with these children, the people who take care of the facilities, it's all together. And we ought to have an appreciation for it all, don't we? And so, Brother Byron, we're praying for you. And may the Lord use you. May you seek to please only him. And I know God's going to use you in a great way. We call this trio the Tennessee Men's Trio. And I gave them that name. I don't know if they like it or not. Doesn't matter to me. I like it. So it's the Tennessee Men's Trio. And so you pray for them as they come and sing. And then we're going to have the preacher come and preach.
And so lonely, just a pilgrim was I, and I had no future, wasn't ready to die. But then I met the Savior, what a friend to know, for he took me to Calvary, wash me whiter than snow. Saved, yes, I'm saved by his marvelous grace. Now I'm a child of that heavenly race. Now my heart is full of gladness, and my life's all aglow, for he took me to Calvary, washed me whiter than snow. Now I don't have much money or this world's noted fame, but there's one thing that's for certain. Jesus knows me by my name. And although I was nothing, now to heaven I will go. For he took me to Calvary, washed me whiter than snow. Saved, yes, I'm saved by his marvelous grace. Now I'm a child of that heavenly race. Now my heart is full of gladness, and my life's all aglow, for he took me to Calvary, wash me whiter than snow. Now my heart is full of gladness, and my life's all aglow, for he took me to Calvary, wash me whiter than snow.
Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 14. I hope you've got your Bible. Mark 14. I love that trio. Wonderful. We've had a good day. Mark chapter 14 is where you're turning in the Bible, Mark chapter 14. I want to go on record right now saying I love Temple Baptist Church. Amen. I love this meeting, Baptist Friends. I served at Bethel Baptist Church, Hampton, Virginia, for about 12 years, assistant pastor, and many different jobs there, working with the music, working the school, running the soul winning, those kind of things. Worked 12 good years there. I enjoyed it. 17 years now in evangelism. I preach about 500 times a year, about 100 locations a year. And all these years, I've been trying to do Baptist Friends, but I just didn't know how to say it. Truth, friendship, and world evangelism. Amen. That's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. I love this meeting, Baptist Friends, and I want us all to put everything we've got into this meeting. And thank you, Dr. Sexton, for all that you do. And this wonderful staff that we've got, Mark chapter 14, we'll be there in a moment. We've got a wonderful staff that's working hard, and I appreciate their diligence and their thoroughness and their love for the Lord. Then my friend Dr. John Reynolds preaching this morning, I appreciated that message, and he's been such a friend to me. And then Dr. Barber, praise God. I love Dr. Barber's preaching. And my pastor loves Dr. Barber's preaching. My pastor is Greg Gray's dad. Pastor Dan Gray is my pastor. Everybody ought to be a pastor or should be helping a pastor. Have you ever heard that before? Amen, it's true. And I've got a pastor. He is my spiritual leader. I love this new hymnal, by the way, don't you folks? Crown Hymns, our own hymn book. And praise God. I know this was on Pastor's heart for a long time, and I appreciate all that worked on it, and it's wonderful, and I pray that God will use it. Now this choir, every night we hope to have a big choir. We published a special book just for the choir this week, and we're allowing folks that are coming into town for this meeting to be part of it. To be part of the choir, there's four things you need to be. Number one, you need to be saved. Amen. Number two, you need to be in love with the Lord. Number three, it will help us if you if you be a singer. And then lastly, you've got to be here. If you're not here, you can't be part of the choir, okay? And so pray for the choir, and thank you, choir, for the good job you've done. Thank the orchestra and our instrumentalists. My wife, Renee, she wishes she could be here. She's not well. She's not been well in a long time. My sweet wife, Renee, I love her, and she's praying for this meeting. And we thank the Lord for all that's going on here. Well, Mark chapter 14 and verse 26. I want to show you a verse that I first noticed as a 17-year-old boy at Bible college. I'd graduated early from high school, got into Bible college. The Lord had called me as a 12-year-old boy. I answered his call. Isn't it wonderful to be saved and then to get to work for the Lord? There's nothing like serving the Lord. Everybody ought to get saved and get serving the Lord. And I went to Bible college. God had called me to serve him. I'd answered the call in particular to work in music. And at that Bible college, as a music major, we had to study the Bible about music. We went through every scripture in the Bible about music. Now, there's about 754 references in the Bible about music. It's amazing how much the Bible says about music. We learn about the first music teacher. We find it in the book of Genesis. Somebody the other day said to me, Brother Fox, that book of Genesis is nothing but a myth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's absolute fact. Amen. And in the book of Genesis, we learn about the first music teacher. His name is Jubal. We read on in the book of Exodus, and we find out about God's people walking over on dry ground. I was preaching about that down in Alabama. A man came to me a couple falls ago. He said, Brother Fox, don't you realize that the water there is very shallow? I said, wow. He said, what are you getting excited about? I said that Pharaoh's army came and drowned in that shallow water. That was somebody that just did not want to believe the Bible. You know, after they went over on dry ground and saw the miracle that God did for them, Moses wrote a song. It's Exodus chapter 15. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's singing about what God had done for them. You read on in the Bible, you find out in the book of Job that the stars sang at creation. So, Brother Fox, what does that mean? This is what it means. It means the stars sang at creation. I know there's symbolism in the Bible. I know that it could mean the angels, or it could mean those literal stars. I don't know for sure. But I know this, there was music at creation. And I believe creation, not evolution. Amen. So there was music at creation. You read on that book of Psalms. It's a song book. You read on in the book of Zephaniah and you find out that God Almighty sings. That's wonderful. And we're going to get to our text in a little bit. You read on in the Bible, you find about God's people singing. All the way to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, you read about that new song. But tonight's verse is absolutely wonderful. Mark chapter 14 and verse 26, it says this, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Let's read it together, may we? Ready? Begin. "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Let's pray, may we? Lord, oh Lord, for 180 days we've prayed. We want your will done. We love your great commission. We love the burden that you've placed upon Pastor's heart and how you've led him. And Lord, may every one of us, me and everybody listening on the broadcast, and everyone here tonight, may we do our best to please you in this matter of truth and friendship and world evangelism. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be together tonight. And I pray you would touch the sermon. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark chapter 14, 26, we find Jesus and his disciples, they are observing the Passover ceremony. And at the conclusion of the Passover ceremony, the Lord Jesus is going to teach a new ceremony. It's going to be a teaching tool, an object lesson called the Lord's Supper. There are two ordinances that our church holds to. Believer's baptism. Once you get saved, after that you need to get baptized. Amen. And then we have the Lord's Supper. This do. The Bible says, but here in verse 26, we find the Lord Jesus Christ singing with his disciples, and when they had sung a hymn. Now, what kind of voice did the Lord Jesus have when he was on this earth? Was he a tenor? You know, in our choir here, we've got some men that sing the high voice parts for men. It's called tenor. And then in our choir, we also have some men that sing the low notes, called bass. And then we've got that part that's in between the two called baritone. We got tenor, baritone, and bass. Well, did the Lord Jesus sing tenor? Did he sing bass? I do not know the timbre and all the nuances of his voice, but I do know some things. Number one, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. Amen. And that includes his music is perfect. Now, I'm not a perfect musician. Are you? You ever sung the wrong word? You ever sung the wrong note? Ever came in early? Released late? I was at Pastor Rick Perrine's church. I was called on spontaneously in Ripley Baptist Temple, Ripley, West Virginia. Called on spontaneously to sing a song that I've written. He said, "Brother Fox, come on up here and sing that song, The Miracle I've Seen." Well, I'm not very good at spontaneous. I'm not that good with rehearsal. But I walked up there, I said, "Yes, sir, preacher." And I began to sing. without any music, I began to sing, I didn't see Christ feed 10,000. And suddenly, I'm singing about the feeding of the 10,000. Now, where is that in the Bible? I wrote the song about the 5,000, but I began to sing about the 10,000. I have no idea how that happened. Last November, I was singing with a couple of men, Brother Lonnie Moore and Terry Lawson. The three of us were singing a trio. Brother Lonnie Moore was so excited because he had a first-time visitor in the crowd that night. He had tried earnestly to win him to the Lord, and the man was lost. And you know, it is exciting to get your visitor to come. And he's interested in folks being saved. And Brother Lonnie Moore was pretty excited. And we'd practiced the song. We laid the book up there when it was our turn to sing. The song's right there on the right-hand side of the page. And Brother Lonnie, he's excited, man. And the introduction began, and Brother Lonnie's going to sing the solo, and we're all going to come in on the chorus. And that song's right there on the right-hand page. And our pianist, Brother David Chamberlain, he's playing. And Brother Lonnie, he's so excited. And he begins to sing the song on the left-hand page. A song that we have not prepared. And we've got about 90 preachers there and a few hundred folk. You don't like to sight read in public. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord, it worked out. I could go on and on with mistakes, but let's stop right there. I've made a lot of mistakes, a lot of human error, but the Lord Jesus Christ has not made one mistake. See, with the Lord Jesus, there is no fault, there's no blemish, there is no error. And that includes his music. But I'm not just talking about him getting all the words right and getting all the notes right and all the entrances, the tacks and releases and all the other items of music. But think about this with me. When Jesus Christ, our Savior, sings, all of the content is perfect also. Let me illustrate. At our church right here, Temple Baptist, we love to sing. And that's good and right. Sometimes we sing this song. I surrender all. I surrender all. Now let me ask you something. Should we want to mean that song when we sing it? Yes. Amen? We should want to. We ought to, every one of us, surrender everything to the Lord. The Bible says in Luke that the disciples forsook all. When we sing that song, I surrender all, we need to surrender. But how many of us, we really can't sing that without any hypocrisy. But Jesus Christ can sing that song without any hypocrisy. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. How about that song, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Jesus Christ can sing that one perfectly. How about trust and obey, for there's no other way. Have you ever failed in trusting the Lord? Have you ever failed in obeying the Lord? We see not the Lord Jesus. He can sing all of these songs perfectly. Amen. It says in verse 26, look at your Bible. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I want to give you 4 points tonight. Number one, I want you to notice, number one, that our Savior is singing with his group of disciples. Our Savior is singing with his group of disciples. The Lord Jesus and the disciples are singing together. When they... Now the impact of music is most keenly felt when it is a group effort. In the Bible, most of the references about music is group music. It's not the soloist. It's not the choir. It's not the trio. The emphasis in the Bible is on group music. Listen to some verses from the Bible. Psalm 66 in verse 4. all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 96 and verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 98 and verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Ladies and gentlemen, do not let the devil rob you of the joy of singing with your church family. Amen. When our song leader gets up here, when our preacher gets up here and says, get your hymn book and number 32 and let's sing, we should all get that song book and we should stand and sing with all of our hearts. I love it when a church sings with all their heart. I love to see men singing for the Lord. At our church, we've seen many saved by the grace of God. Now, this was about 20-some years ago, the story I'm about to tell you. We were out soul winning, and we saw a man named Jerry get right with the Lord. Jerry had been from a bad background. His family was about a mafia kind of family. But Jerry was wonderfully born again. And Brother Jerry, I remember the first service that I led singing with Brother Jerry sitting down here on the second row. Brother Jerry had come to church. He was excited. Hey, it is exciting serving the Lord. Man-made religion is boring. It's dull, but there's nothing boring about serving the Lord. And Brother Jerry, he's in church for the first time. He's got a suit on. He's cleaned up. He got cleaned up on the inside, and suddenly he's starting to get cleaned up on the outside. He comes to church. He's sitting on the second row. I came in to lead the first song. I said, everybody get your song book. Number 15, we're going to sing, Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Well, Brother Jerry picked up a song book. He didn't know how that song went. First time he's been in church. He's grabbed the song book up. I said, let's all stand. Number 15, we're going to sing, Brethren, we have met to worship. Now, I love that song. I love starting a service with that song. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. I know that song. But Brother Jerry did not know that song. But man, he's excited. He gets his book up. Oh, he's ready to sing. He has no idea how that song goes. He begins to sing at the top of his lungs. He has no idea the timing of the song. He has no idea the tune, but he begins to sing at the top of his lungs. He's got one note, and it is a very, very bad note. It surprised me. We've got the orchestra, we've got the organ, we've got the piano playing the introduction. I begin to lead the song, and Brother Jerry began to sing at the top of his lungs, and I'm trying to sing the song, and I can't remember how the song even goes. He's singing so loud. He threw our whole church off that day. By the way, since then, Jerry has answered the call to preach. He's went off to Bible college. He's worked in the bus ministry, and he's learned a few songs now. Hey, what was he singing? He was singing to the Lord, and he was singing with his group. And that's what we do. Our congregational singing at our church is not filler. You say, well, I know why they got all that singing over there at Temple Baptist Church. The preacher couldn't find a long enough message to preach, and so they just fill up some of the time with the music. That's funny. Well, I know what it is. They're going to take an offering and they're going to try to get everybody excited, so we give an extra dollar. Now, wait a minute. God's people ought to want to give. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. The reason we have this congregational music is not because we can't find a long enough message to preach or to get a little bigger offering. It's important. We are singing with our group, and we're singing to the Lord, and it's modeled by our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says it this way, Psalm 149 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Hebrews 2:12. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Number one, in verse 26, number one, our Savior is singing with his group of disciples. Number two, think with me on this. Number two, our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. Our Savior is singing with sorrow approaching. What sorrow? The agony of the cross. It's very near. It's just hours. It's just hours leading up to the most agonizing, the most intense, the most torturous, the most stressful, the most dreaded, the most arduous experience ever to take place on this earth. And before Jesus goes to the cross, he sings. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The first time I heard preaching in my life was May the 17th, 1972. The preacher got up. It was in a citywide crusade. 12 independent Baptist churches were working together as friends to get the gospel to everybody in Hampton, Virginia. And in a baseball stadium, we had an evangelistic meeting, giving me the truth as an 8-year-old boy. They got me to come to the meeting. And the first night of the meeting, I heard this. I learned there was a hell. The only reliable source of information about hell is the Bible. And the Bible tells us the truth. I wanted to be saved that night. Someone talked me out of it. The next night, the preacher got up, and by God's grace, I was there again. A little lost 8-year-old boy, a thief, being used by people. And I heard what Jesus had done for me. I heard how he went to the cross. The most extreme punishment allowed by Roman law was death by crucifixion. There was nothing more extreme. He was spit upon. A few years back in the Major League Baseball here in America, we had a player spit on an umpire. It made national news. So gross. When I saw it on the news, I thought about the Lord Jesus and what he took for me and for you and for everybody in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I learned that Jesus died for me. You know, he not only willingly did it, he did it with joy. So much that before he went to the cross, he sang. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, scoffers and lost folks, cynics, may say, well, Brother Fox, that's a strange circumstance for your Jesus, your Savior, to be singing in. That's a strange circumstance. Does he not know that he's going to go to the cross? Does he not know all the agony? That's a strange circumstance, Brother Fox, for your Savior to be singing. You see, the world does not understand. You see, the world's music's all based on circumstances. When things are going well in their lives, the music's happy. When things are not going well, it's depressing music. Hey, wait a minute. Our songs as believers, our songs are not based upon our circumstances. Our songs are based upon faith in God. Amen. And the Lord Jesus, just before he goes to the cross, he sings Isaiah 49 and verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Psalm 59, 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. We're going to see the church sending out some preachers in the book of Acts. And they're preaching the gospel. What is that? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And they're out preaching the gospel. I was up in Ohio. And somebody said, oh, Brother Fox is nothing but a gospel preacher. Amen. The central theme of the whole Bible is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church in the book of Acts, they're sending out these preachers, Paul and Silas. And they're out preaching. And they're wanting everyone to be saved. That's what I want. Isn't that what you want? They're out preaching the gospel, telling folks the truth. Well, some folks are getting saved, but some are getting upset and angry. And we find Paul and Silas being beaten for preaching the gospel. You find there in Acts 16, they're put down in that old prison. They've been beaten. But wait a minute. At midnight, what's happening? They're having a prayer meeting and they're singing. You cannot defeat a singing Christian. Amen. Where did they learn this? They learned this from the Lord Jesus. Our Savior sang with sorrow approaching. Our Savior sang along with his group of disciples. He sang with sorrow approaching. Number three, I want you to think about this. When I pause in verse 26, I want you to say the next word. Look at your Bible, verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, our Savior is singing godly music. And when they had sung an hymn, Christ and the disciples were not singing a Greek chant. It was not a Roman march. No, they were singing music associated with the Lord and associated with the Lord's people. Amen. He's singing the right music. Now, since the earliest historical records, I believe this earth, I'll just say it, I believe this earth is about 7,000 years old. If you think the earth is 10,000 years old, I really don't have a problem with that. If you think the earth is 7 billion years old, you're just wrong, okay? I think it's about 7,000 years old. And in this 7,000 years, these 7,000 years, there's always been the Lord's music and there's been the devil's music. There's the right kind of music and there is the wrong kind of music. And that's true today. There's good music and there is bad music. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is singing the right kind of music. Do you remember in the Bible, when Moses went up on the mountain to meet with the Lord, he was the old man of God, and the young man of God, Joshua, went with him. The young man of God, Joshua, goes up, and Moses goes on up and meets with the Lord. And then they're coming down off the mountain. And you can hear something. And Joshua, the young man, he's a warrior. He's a fighter. He said, it sounds like we're under attack. We're at war. The old man of God knew better. The Lord had told Moses the trouble. What's wrong? What is wrong? What is that noise? Is it the noise of war? No. The Bible word is corrupt. The people have corrupted themselves. And what's going on with all that corruption, that nakedness? By the way, ladies, thank you. All the ladies that dress modestly, thank you. Modesty is still right. Amen. There's all this immodesty. There's all this idol worship. And what's going along with all of that? It's music of corruption. Corrupt lifestyle and corrupt music go together. You can tell a lot about a family. You can tell a lot about a dad just by finding out what kind of music is in the life. The music we listen to, the music we sing, it's a reflection of how we're doing spiritually. Our Savior Jesus Christ is singing godly music. I've got a boy 26 years old. His name is Micah. When my boy was a little boy, I remember getting down on my knees in his room. I'm a young daddy. My wife and I had gotten married at age 19. That's too young. Crown Bible College, that is too young. Got married at 19. Had Micah just 10 and a half months later. And I remember going into my little boy's room and getting down on my knees and saying, Lord, I've been listening to this country music. And Lord, it's slowing me down in serving you. And so Lord, I'd like to just quit. And I need you to help me. I grew up on country music. But it was slowing me down serving the Lord. I do not need anything slowing me down serving God. Nor do you. We need to press, like the Bible says. Amen. I made a commitment to the Lord in my little boy's room 20-some years ago, going on 30 years ago. From that day to this, by the grace of God, I've had no pattern of listening to country music. I'm telling you what happened between me and the Lord. You meet with the Lord, would you? About your music. And let the Lord have His way. Amen. Our Savior Jesus Christ is singing godly music. What hymn was He singing? I don't know exactly. The Bible does not say. I've got a guess for you. Traditionally, the Jewish folks sing what's called the Hallel in this situation. Psalm 113 and 114 is sung before the Passover meal. Psalm 115 through 118 is sung after the meal. I think it's likely. Either way, I know he was singing godly music. Now, I've been thinking on this verse for more than 30 years, but just recently I noticed something else. One more thing I want to show you. Verse 26, look at it. And when I pause this time, you fill in the next word. Verse 26, and when they had sung an hymn, they went. I was working in the warehouse, Bible Truth Music. I was thinking on this verse. And I noticed that word went. It was like I noticed it for the first time. Before our Savior went, before our Savior and the disciples, before they went, in preparation to go, they sang. Before they went, they sang. And for a day, I just meditated on that. And I thought about it. And here's an observation. I have found that most singing Christians are going Christians. And most going Christians are singing Christians. I want to be a going Christian. How about you? And I think we ought to be singing Christians. And I'll tell you something. Listen careful. You cannot lose your salvation. Amen. But you know something? You can lose your song. Usually when people lose their song, they quit going. I think in this meeting here, the emphasis is exactly right. I want us to go for world evangelism. I want us to go in friendship and with the truth. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, Brother Fox, what's life all about? I said, man, that's easy. Number one, get saved. Number two, get serving God. And number three, start singing to God. Amen. In preparation to go, they sang. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed and eyes closed. What a fantastic verse. Our singing together in this meeting, Baptist friends, ought to encourage and energize us to go. They went. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, I've been preaching tonight about our singing Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In a moment, I want our pianist to play number 332. No, not one. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I've been trying to preach about our singing Savior. Now, I can testify to you tonight, He is my Savior. Is He your Savior? In this room, you're either saved or lost. Everybody in this whole world is either a child of God or a child of the devil. There is no in between. If you're not saved, what should you do? You should quickly come forward. Get some of these men and say, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. And we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Those who are listening by the way of the broadcast, please, would you make union with Jesus Christ? Now, what if you're here and you've lost your song? How can you lose your song? Backsliding on the Lord, getting your eyes off of Him, allowing sin in our lives, just becoming complacent. Many ways to lose our song. Would you not come to this altar and do business with the Lord tonight? Do you need some help from God tonight? Do you need some help from our singing Savior? Why don't you come in this invitation? Please help us, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name.